Thank you, Jesus. Would you stand with me, please? I'd like to turn your attention to Philippians, the third chapter. Starting in verse number 17. It says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have for us an example." So, you know, we are to be examples to other people in the church. We help each other. This is a support group for those who want to live for God. "For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, have changed sides, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." There are some things in this earth that have bewitched them, if you will, and say, "You know what? I can't live for God anymore. I have to go after this, or I have to go after that. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change your vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." And then if you'll turn to Psalm 17. Psalm 17 and verse number 15. It says, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." In Acts, the second chapter, in the most important message ever given to the church by Peter, he says, well, David's not in heaven. But what it says here is that David's going to awake with thy likeness, because his vile body is going to be changed to be like his glorious body. Each of us are going to have a bitter body. And so I know we groan and we complain about these bodies and we get tired and we get sick, but we're going to have a bitter body. Last scripture, 1 John, the third chapter. First John chapter 3 and verse number 2, it says, "Beloved, now we, the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." When Jesus comes back, we're going to be like Jesus. What most people believe is that as soon as they die, they're going to go to heaven. That's not scriptural. But what a lot of people don't understand is when Jesus comes, we're going to go to a marriage supper of the Lamb for 7 years, and then we're coming back to occupy this earth for 1,000 years. And we will have glorious bodies during that 1,000 years. We are going to be the rock stars of this earth. Because people are going to say, "Oh, there goes a saint, one of those with the glorious bodies." I mean, people will be living here for long periods of time, 600, 700 years, like at the very beginning. But we who have been changed, we have been glorified, when we put on immortality, well, hallelujah. Don't need to sleep. Don't need to rest. Because we're going to have glorious bodies like him. Amen. So, the title of this message is, why do we get sick? Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word of God. Lord, the information that you have given us, all of the answers that we need to occupy this earth and to be satisfied, God, we ask your blessing. It's all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, there is not a person in here that doesn't understand that we all need proper rest. We need proper nutrition. And we need to take care of ourselves, because if we don't take care of ourselves, well, we're going to get sick, we're going to get tired, and we're not going to be able to function the way God really wants us to function. When I was 21 years old, I was a claims adjuster for the Home Insurance Company of New York, and I was the only claims adjuster in the Milwaukee office, and we had a lot of big accounts. One of the accounts that we had was the McDonald's restaurants, and so I had something like 300 to 400 open claims at any given time, and that meant fall-down claims, food poisoning claims, accidents, fires, and most of those were dealing with attorneys in the metropolitan Milwaukee area. Well, I ran from early in the morning till late at night, and finally I got to the place where I ran myself in the ground. At 21 years old, you think you can do anything, go as long as you want, that there is no repercussions. But because I did that, I came down with something called mononucleosis. And for 2 months, 21 years old, 2 months, I was in bed. I mean, for the first 2 weeks, without exaggeration, I slept for 2 weeks. And yet I still had repercussions after that. And what I recognize is, you know, you cannot burn the candle at both ends, or you're going to pay the price. Whether you're in the church or not in the church, you still have to use common sense. Now, my wife has been sick now for over a week, and she hasn't gotten out of bed for 4 days, and she coughs, and she's very sick. But the question is, why do people get sick? Is she not spiritual enough? Has she not been taking care of herself? She's getting really, really old, and I know that. Please don't say anything to her. We all wear out, you know. But God, why? Why? I just want to mention to you before we get started that I have got your prescription filled for today. Now, don't thank me, because God called it in for you. And you will feel better in just a little while, although there may be some side effects. This message could cause permanent damage to your flesh. It may even change your DNA. It could cause you to scream out, "Amen!" in the middle of it. For some of you, the sermon may cause drowsiness, so please don't operate heavy machinery after you leave here. There are many side effects to medications. Have you ever heard those commercials, you know? You want to stop your rash, but it may kill you, you know. But it's worth it. You'll look better in the coffin. But most of the time, the benefits outweigh the side effects. Yet with the Word of God, there are no bad side effects. There are all benefits. It'll always change to good things. Combine the Word with the Spirit of God, and it'll cause us to walk in His statutes and to follow His precepts, change the way we live and what we value. It is the gospel. It doesn't always go down easy, but what a difference it really will make. If somebody will hear the gospel and then swallow it and then use it, you know, It's like a prescription you get from the doctor. He writes out this prescription. You may not even be able to read it, you know, but you take it home and you put it under your pillow and you wait for 10 days and nothing happens because you haven't filled the prescription. And it's the same with the Word of God. You hear it, but do you do anything with it? Hallelujah. Philippians 3 and 21 says, "Who shall change or transfigure, to alter the appearance of, or to transform our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working or the reconstruction, whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." What a change. One day, we will be changed. Reconstruction with a glorious body like unto his glorious body. The blueprints have already been approved. The DNA has already been fixed. A plan change that we determine while we're still in the old body. You have to make that decision while you're in the old body. Jesus said we must be born again of the water and the Spirit. Then we have the right of exchange, the old body for the new body. According to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, it talks about the old house and the new one. I don't remember a year that there's been so much sickness. I really don't. So many, many people who have been sick. The clinics and the doctor's offices have been filled, hospitals, emergency rooms. And this altar has also been filled because we know the first response is to God and not to the doctor. And sometimes if we don't take that as the first prescription, then God just waits, you know, all right, do it your way. And let's see what that gets you. I paid the price. Now, why would he take a beating and then withhold healing? We're going to open this altar after this message, and I believe that God is going to heal some people. You know, there's a elevating of faith when you see what the Word of God says. Now, before the fall of Adam and Eve, they were immune to sickness and disease. And after sin entered into the world, mankind lost the immunity to sickness. Since that time, human suffering has had no limit. Man's original sin has become the root of all sickness, yet other factors are involved. And God's word gives us some insights to other factors within the body as to why some of these things happen to us and what would we could expect based on the Word of God. Not, you know, if you were more spiritual, you could really be healed. Have you ever heard that? Or even felt that in your own life? Because of our desire to live as long as possible, billions of dollars have been spent every year on medicine and pills. Have you ever read some of the side effects? It's just unbelievable. Jesus is the healer, and he has all good things for you and I. Without question, we know he has and can heal all manner of diseases. We've experienced a plethora of miracles within this church. Yet the fact remains, many are not healed, and eventually there will be some who will die. Since God has the power to remove all sickness and eliminate death, why then does he allow men, and especially the children, to suffer sicknesses? You wonder. See, the thing that bothers us is that we know God can. We believe it beyond a shadow of a doubt that God could walk in here and heal every person that is sick. And why does that not happen? Now, remember to keep the main thing the main thing. There are some people who have gotten sick and they, well, they didn't get healed. And so as a result, they leave the church or they don't believe in God anymore. And that's the wrong concept. Our main objective is to be saved, not to be healed. We don't come to church to get healed. We come to church to get saved and to stay saved. And salvation is not predicated upon whether or not I get my healing. You know, sick people can make it to heaven, but whole people who aren't saved will not. Yeah. Now, God doesn't have to explain to us sickness and why it comes. God has asked us to pray for the sick and trust him. That's our position. There isn't a person in here who has the gift or the power to heal anybody. But we have a direct line with God. We can ask God, according to James 5 and 14. If healing doesn't come, we should never doubt him or his ability to heal. Above all, be sure that our soul is right with God, and this is the thing that we do have control over. We may not have control over sickness or healing or disease, but we do have the power to stay saved. If I'm not saved, I have nobody to blame except me. Consider some causes of sickness and how to be healed. One cause is to test our faith and loyalty to God. Job is a perfect example of that. God tested Job, and God held Job up to Satan as one of his greatest patriarchs. And through Job's sickness, Satan was shown Job's dedication, and Job was completely healed when the test was over. Trials come in many forms, and one of those forms are sickness. If your sickness is a trial, you will be healed at the end of the trial, especially if you find yourself faithful. I'm believing God. The key to being faithful is to not charge God foolishly. Amen. God, why did, you know? Don't ever get to that place. Another reason for sickness could be because sin is in your life or disobedience is in your life. Original sin brought on sickness for mankind, but individual sin and disobedience can subject us to sickness, disease, and even death. Miriam was smitten with leprosy because she challenged the man of God in Numbers, the 12th chapter. Instantly, God smote her with leprosy. Israel was smitten by serpents because of wrongdoing. Corinthians, according to 1 Corinthians 11, many were weak and sickly because of wrong attitudes when they were taking communion. There are things that we obviously can do to destroy the temple, whether it's drinking or smoking or drugs. When we do those things, God's saying, okay, you know, go for it, but don't ask me to come and repair that which you have destroyed. The route to healing is repentance and restoration for those things. God can take those things away from us. He has the power, and he wants to. Another reason for biblical sickness is to keep us humble and focused on God. Some people's attention cannot be arrested outside of some kind of physical pain. And God knows it is better to use sickness to keep us humble than for us to be lost for eternity. Now, you can't just analyze these things and say, I'm sick because of this. But you know what? You need to analyze yourself. You really do. David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. So David was restricted with sickness and some afflictions so God could get his attention and change his mind. Paul was given a thorn in the flesh to keep him from being exalted above all measure in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul realized the basis of his infirmities and accepted God's grace to sustain him. He said, for when I am weak, then I am strong. So even though Paul was probably the greatest of all of the apostles, went up to the third heaven, saw things that he couldn't describe to us, God gave him an affliction. He said it was of Satan in order to keep him in check so he didn't exalt himself because of revelation that he had. Amen. Another reason is to reveal the power of the Holy Ghost. No one wants to get sick, but before the glory of God can be exhibited or manifested, or we could see a miracle, somebody's got to have a problem before we can see the miraculous. A man was born blind. For what reason? To glorify God. Jesus said this man's blindness was not a result of sin, but rather it happened that the works of God could be manifest in John 9:3. Lazarus even tasted of death that God's glory could be manifested. Imagine God's closest friend, his closest friend, he allowed to die just in order for the glory of God, the miraculous, to be manifested. Glory to God. Then there is that, I don't know how to say this, aging process. You know, I you probably have noticed it when you've looked in the mirror. Due to our limited lifespan, having bodies designed to deteriorate, and that's the way God has designed them. I wonder if we would be who we are if we didn't recognize time is short. You know, when you're young, you think there is no limit to time. But as you see the crow's feet and all of the other things happening in the mirror, you recognize, you know what? I better make this time count, and I want to be ready for God. And as we get older, some have been made to feel that they have lost their faith because of their weakness and lack of strength. And there is no credence to that whatsoever. In fact, most of the people that were given the greatest honor in the Bible were those who were older. In fact, Pharisees criticized Jesus because he was not yet 50 years old, and you're telling me, you see? So there was wisdom with people who were getting old, and people in the Bible were held to a higher degree of respect. But Paul teaches that the outward man will perish in 2 Corinthians 4 and 16, and this earthly tabernacle will dissolve. None of us are immune to aging. I don't care what you buy. I don't care what kind of product you put on your face or what kind of vitamins you put in your body. Well, I just read on the internet where the oldest person in the world is 115 years old and lives in Michigan. So after the sermon, I'm going to be moving. Hebrews 9 and 22 says, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So if the rapture doesn't come, folks, we're all going the same way. Illness is not an indictment that God has forsaken people or they are in sin. Let me just say, illness is not any kind of indication that God has forsaken people or that they are in sin. And so don't ever come to the conclusion, well, God, why are you angry at me? I didn't get a cold last year and this year. You see, don't attribute that, because you can walk in here and you can feel you're less of an individual because you're not feeling good, but it's all part of what had happened in the Garden of Eden, and our immune system is not what it was before. We have seasonal sicknesses as we experienced this year. Does this mean that we are not right with God in the winter? And we're right with God in the summer. You know what I'm saying? Or a childhood sickness. Does that mean that when children are small that they're just not right with God? It just doesn't make any kind of sense. Now, on the other hand, because a person is healed doesn't mean that they're saved. Amen. Or even spiritual. Amen. I've said this before, but years ago, we had a lady in the church, and her neighbor had someone who was very, very sick. A young man, I think he was about 23 years old. He was in a coma. His kidneys shut down. His liver shut down. And they gave him 3 days to live. And they said, would you go to the hospital and pray for this individual? And so I walked into the hospital, and the whole room was filled with relatives, mother-in-law, mother, all of the extended family was in there. I'm telling you, there must have been at least 25 people that were in the room. I walked over to this young man. He was unconscious, took some oil, rubbed it on his head, prayed a prayer, and the room filled up with the power and the presence of God. And I introduced myself and said, if I can do anything, please call me. I walked out of the room, and as I walked out of the room, no exaggeration at all, there must have been 12 people that followed me to the elevator. And they said, what did you do? What is that that we felt? Tears were streaming down their faces, you know, and of course I gave them my card and told them, please contact me. there's a church that you're welcome to come to. And in 2 days, instead of this man dying, he walked out of the hospital. The doctors didn't do anything to him, didn't prescribe anything to him. And what I'd like to tell you is that that weekend, him and his entire family came to church and we baptized them and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, but I never saw one person, not even the man whose life was saved. What I'm saying is God, in his infinite mercy, he can heal somebody and yet they never turn to him, never get saved, you see. Remember, God honors his word. He honors faith, whether people have salvation or not. And salvation from sin doesn't guarantee physical healing. God gave us promises of healing, like in James 5 and 14. We follow his instructions, and then it is all up to God. He is sovereign. Healing is not in opposition or competition with the medical profession. If you are sick, my advice is to follow the word of God. Be encouraged. God loves you. If he heals you, be sure to praise him and thank him for it. If he doesn't, serve him and trust him. But go to a doctor, because we're not in competition with a medical profession. You go first to God, and then you go to the doctor. Could it be that there's a doctor who God is going to work through, or the doctor who needs to be saved? God is a healer, and we owe him praise for whatever measure of health that we continue to enjoy. We ask God to heal people all of the time, but maybe once a week we should have everybody stand up that is healthy and then give God a hand clap. Thank you, God. I didn't get the flu this year. In Ephesians 4 and 11, God gave the church a fivefold ministry of the body. In the 20th century, a medical science discovered that there is a fivefold ministry of the blood. It's not a coincidence. It lines up. 26 billion white blood cells fight bacteria in any kind of wound that we have. God has designed the body that way. There are five different antibodies made in plasma cells to deter bacteria. Bacteria is like sin entering into the body. Do you know what AIDS is? AIDS is one of these white corpuscles that has gone wacko. And what it does is, the first thing it does is it kills another white corpuscle and puts it over itself, disguising it as a regular cell, and goes throughout the body, destroying the body. And someone has to detect that. The same is true within the body of Christ. Somebody has to preach the word, because there are false prophets that come in and will try to destroy the body. There are protein complements made in the liver which fight disease. Two kinds of lymph nodes, T and B, in our lymph nodes. And they are the master controls of all of our defense system. Some of you that are nurses, you will understand this. And there's properdins, recently discovered, a protecting agent found in the liver that sustains so much of our defense system. Without the fivefold ministry of the blood, our body would soon die. And our spiritual body is the same as the natural. We need the fivefold ministry operating in the body in order to live. The apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, they all need to affect the body in order to protect the body. And if the word of God is not preached undiluted, then what happens is easy for the infection to come into the body and eventually ravage the body, so it doesn't know what's right from wrong. They are for the perfecting of the saint. Amen. And they come against the sin of the body. They are the workers of the blood of Jesus Christ. Blood is the cleansing agent of our body. And so there are things that go through our body that need to be washed out and cleansed, and blood is the scrubber, if you will, of all of our body, just like the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all of our sins, just as he has in the waters of baptism. Acts 20 and 28 tells us that the church was purchased with his own blood. 1 John 3 and 16 says that God laid down his life for us. Dr. D. Hagen wrote in his book, The Chemistry of the Blood, that the blood of the fetus does not come from the mother. The sperm of the father unites with the egg of the mother and supplies the blood. Since the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, the blood of Jesus was divine blood, not Mary's blood, but God's blood. I thought that fascinating, that always the blood comes from the father and not from the mother. Now, that divine blood is applied whenever the name of Jesus is used. And we need to use the name of Jesus in all of our healings. Acts 12, 4 and 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Colossians 3 and 17 says, whatever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. The name is always associated with the blood, the cleansing blood. The name and the blood are inseparable. There is now DNA tests that can identify everyone's blood. It is like your fingerprint because all blood is completely different. It just amazes me to think that there are billions and billions of people on the face of the earth. We all have different fingerprints. We all have different eye prints. We all have different blood, and it can be detectable that every one of us are individual. We are not carbon copies of everyone else. Everyone is completely different, and we're saved individually, not in a group of people, if you will. The evidence is in, I have the blood of Jesus in me. I have the blood of the Father on me. No doubt about it. Amen. I know every time I preach on the blood, I use this illustration. If you've heard it, please forgive me. But my father was diagnosed with lung cancer when I first came into the church. 6 months after I came into the church, and I was very concerned. He went in for an operation. They removed one of his lungs, and during that time, I was in the waiting room putting together my first Bible study. My approach to God was this: God, I can't do anything about that, but I can do something about saving souls. And during that time, the doctor came out, and he said to me, would you mind if we did a blood test? And I said, I guess, but I'm not the sick one. It's my father. And they said, well, we found something in his blood that is very unusual, and we want to compare it to yours. And so they compared it to mine, and his white corpuscles were deformed, but it seemed like they were operating properly. So when they took my blood test, sure enough, my blood had the same deformed white corpuscles, and that's why I act a little different from time to time. When my son was 6 years old, we took him in for a test, and they called and said, we need to get your son down here right away. There's something wrong with his blood. And I says, is his white corpuscles deformed? And they said, how did you know? He has his father's blood. You see, we have the DNA of the Lord Jesus Christ on us. We're not like anybody else, folks. There is something, and I'm sure you've heard of it, it's called laminins. It is the rebarb of the body, like the metal rods that holds the concrete together. It is the protein molecule that holds all of our cells together. This laminin tells every cell in the body what its job is, and if it didn't have those controls, well, you know, we would have lots of cancers because cells would grow without any kind of regularity. Without the laminins, we would just fall apart. It's the glue of the human body. It is the cell adhesiveness. And medical science has now been able to picture this molecule in our cells. And it is amazing that the thing that holds the entire body together, these laminins, is in the perfect form of the cross. And so God has held us together with the cross. Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him, Jesus, all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things are created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist or are held together." So we are literally held together by a cross. Amen. Verse 20 says, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross." The cross that is plastered through our entire body holds us together. The fivefold ministry that moves within our body in order to protect us. The cross that holds everything together. Do you think he cares about us? To put this whole thing, of course, it was just an accident. It was just evolution. You know, it'd take a whole lot more faith to believe in evolution than it would be in creation. Amen. You know, we are wonderfully, fearfully made. And God, whether you believe this or not, God has specifically designed every one of us just the way we are. So the next time you stand in front of a mirror and criticize the way you look, you're criticizing the artwork of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the painting doesn't have any authority to change it. It's always the master who puts his name on the masterpiece. Glory to God. All things, well, they're not falling apart if you've got Jesus. Amen. Let the cross hold it together and put the pieces back together. Amen. With the laminins, with the cross. And I know he wants to do that. He's made us some promises. I'm thinking it was bad enough to go through the trial. It's bad enough to go through the crucifixion. But to stop on the way to Golgotha and take the beating that he did, by his stripes, we are healed. Then I believe that God is willing to heal us. I know there are extenuating circumstances. We've been praying for some people who have not been healed, and that's disappointing from time to time. But you know what? God is a sovereign God. He will do what he does. Sister Bailey, I don't know if she's down in Cleveland right now. She is. She's at a hospital down in Cleveland going through a panel of studies to see if she can get lung transplants. And I'm praying that happens through doctors, yes. But you know what? We need to just give him the glory in everything that happens, whether we're healed or we're not healed. It's all up to him. And so would you stand with me, please? I want to take an opportunity to pray some for some people tonight. I also want to say this, that, you know, if my sister called today. She was in church on Good Friday. She was in church on Palm Sunday, and she was in church on Easter Sunday. She lives an hour and a half away from here, but I baptized her in Jesus' name a couple of years ago when she had cancer, a bone cancer. They gave her 10% chance to recover, and she has recovered. But over the last 2 months, they have found some things in her body, and it's really disturbed. There's a lot of people who have gone through a cancer and got a clean bill of health, and then a couple years later, there's something that crops up. Well, she called today, came back from the doctor, and she's weeping uncontrollably, and I'm thinking it's absolutely the worst. And she said they couldn't find anything. You know? Sister Don Back went through an operation not too long ago, and the prognosis is good. You know, if you're sick, where would you want to be? In the church, right in the church. In a oneness Pentecostal church that believes in the gifts of the Spirit, in healing, or some place that puts less restrictions on you but sees less of God's manifestation. I'm glad. This is a safe place to be, because if God's going to do a miracle, he's going to do a miracle right in the middle of his people. And if it hasn't happened, that doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. Delay is not denial. So tonight, you come to a Wednesday night service, and it's not the biggest service in the week, but maybe sometimes you just come, I want to hear the little message and spend a little time with Jesus. Could it be on a Wednesday night? God does his best work. Anybody's faith raised in here? What went through the mind of the man when Jesus spit in the ground, took some mud, pushed it in his eye sockets? What could he imagine would happen? Just doesn't make sense. But folks, God has said, if we take this oil and anoint the sick and pray for them in Jesus' name, it's going to happen. And I believe tonight we're at the threshold of something great happening in this place. And so those of you that need a healing touch, I wish you'd come forward, and we're going to pray for you, and we're going to expect that God's going to do something for you. Amen.